Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Penn State post-game breakdown. And folks, this is the podcast that we did not think we were going to be doing today because Illinois outlasts number 7 Penn State in a 9, that's count them, 9 overtime stunner. And there is now a new record for most overtimes in NCAA history, owned by your Fighting Illini in the victory over Penn State. Quite a game that we saw today, Ked. Give me some of your initial thoughts after the, to be honest, incredible finish.
Mike, I don't know where to start. I just have so many emotions right now, from frustrated to a headache to mad to happy, glad for the team, feel bad for Penn State. It was good because it was on national TV. I'm just full of emotions right now. I'm at a loss of words because that, and nobody was expecting that. Illinois, you know, walked in as a 24-point underdog. You know, the fans were mad. You know, Twitter was live. You know, things just you never saw happen. Your starting quarterback goes out. And what, six overtime, and yeah. You know, it doesn't look good for him. You know, Brandon Peters come in, and you know, he's been the whipping boy all season, and throws a game winning, you know, extra 2 points. It's just a loss of words, but it was an entertaining game. I can't tell you the last time my text messages had 200 messages on it regarding Illinois football. That was truly amazing.
Yeah, it is. It was quite the game. Took you through the gamut of emotions. You certainly had to feel like, you know, playing on the road in an overtime situation like this, had all the chips stacked in the corner of the Nittany Lions. It didn't turn out that way. So now I'm going to go through a litany of things, but I will tell you, for those people who don't like Brett Bielema's style of football, the one thing I think that he is proving to us is, with a roster that has some recruiting and talent gaps that were largely created by the last staff, the Lovie Smith staff, he has found a way to make this team be 3-5. One could argue that they could have as few as 2 losses right now with some fortunate breaks and maybe couple different coaching strategies down the line. What the heck is this team going to look like if he gets a Brett Bielema offensive line and gets a Brett Bielema, you know, defense? He's already got a pretty tough defense started. And as the talent level goes up, I think he's going to be pretty tough to beat for a Big Ten West title. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't like the style of offense. It's very bland and boring to me. I didn't like it at Wisconsin. I really don't like it at Iowa because they kind of run the same thing. But gosh darn it, it's effective. And you're exactly right. You know, you give him an offensive line and a running back with a heart and power and a quarterback. If they can get it, find a quarterback that goes 20 yards, Illinois football is going to win. This is exactly what Josh Whitman hired him for. It may not be the flashy games where you put up 65 points all the time to compete. Ryan Walters is just in a different league by himself. Fans can think whatever they want about the previous staff. They would have given up 60 points. Ryan Walters, Mike mentioned it. Look at all the games that they could have won. He has, in the last 4 or 5 games, I don't think he's given up 25 points. Well, yep. No, I'll take that back against Wisconsin. And that's it. You know, and truth be told, you should score more points in a game like that. I just think when you look at the big picture, and sometimes it's hard for the average fan to do that and realize this was a rebuilding position again. Brett Bielema knows what it's going to take to win. And, of course, as a head coach, you don't listen to the outside people. If you have a system, you stay with it, or you adjust to your players. I just see long-term, if they can get lucky in the transfer portal and they can continue to recruit. They can get a couple of junior college kids because they're going to lose a lot. Like, they're going to win some games, and you can see it. You can, like today, that wasn't pretty, but they weren't blown out. They went to Happy Valley, and they weren't blown out. The last time they beat a top 10 team like that was when they went to Ohio State and won. And they've only done it twice in the history of the school. They showed it on TV, you know, in 1999 when they went to Michigan and won. So there's not a lot of tradition there, and you've been a good proponent of talking about that. This was a huge win for the program.
Yeah, I see this as one of those moments that if you're Brett Bielema and you're sitting in the living room of a prospective football player, and you can talk about who you've put in the NFL over the years and all the, you can show them the titles that you put up, you know, in the Big Ten West. It's got to be something that a player will look at and think, man, you know, look, here we are beating Penn State and Happy Valley without a lot of talent. And what are we going to do with a better team? Maybe I should get on, you know, maybe I should be one of the guys at the start of this as opposed to waiting to jump on board till later. But, you know, there is some hope for Illini fans. I really think that this is what, this is the type of game that Brett Bielema needed to point to help, you know, get recruiting amped up. And I got to think that a lot of players and a lot of family members of players looking at this game, all of a sudden in the back of their mind, it's like, why not Illinois? And that's a different statement than what they were just thinking 2 weeks ago, you know, coming off of the Wisconsin game where they couldn't score. Now, we've also got folks, Matt Stevens has joined us. He's obviously the beat writer who covers the Fighting Illini, and he's just gotten in after listening to Coach B after the game. Matt, we've talked a little bit about just the amazing nine overtime game that set records. Illinois ends up as the victors, totally reversing Vegas, all the prognosticators, all the people like ourselves. What are your initial thoughts after this?
Hey, Mike, before we go to Matt, let me address something really quick.
Okay.
You made a comment about recruiting, and this was, again, perfect timing on your part. I spoke with a five-star recruit yesterday, and this kid is wanted by everybody. I'm talking to the SEC, the top Big Ten schools, and her comment to me was yesterday, Kedrick, this is the mother. I want to go to the school, my son to go to a school where they can win. The only reason why we are even entertaining the thought of talking at the University of Illinois is because of the line play that Brett has shown that he can, you know, make kids better, put kids in the NFL. And today on TV, I wasn't the only one who saw it. I tweeted it. You know, Nick Saban's put 13 fail, and Brett Bielema's next with 12 and all of college football. This is what recruiting can do if people give them a chance. So I did send that picture to the mother, and she laughed at me, and that's what her response back to me was, we're going to continue to give them a look just because of the possibilities that they can win games and he could give my son a chance to play in the NFL. So you're exactly right. But it takes a special kid in the state of Illinois, just like Iowa did in basketball, to say, hey, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pull the trigger, and hopefully other people follow me.
And it also takes a special reporter who can get in with all the moms as consistently as you do, Ked. So that's so Matt, Ked and I have kind of talked about some of our initial thoughts. What are your initial thoughts coming off of this stunning? And I think stunning is a word that's overused, but I got to be honest with you. This is a little reminiscent of the feelings that we had, I'll be honest with you, when Buster Douglas knocked down Mike Tyson. So what are your thoughts?
It's a similar feeling I had 2 years ago at homecoming when Illinois knocked off Wisconsin. Now that was at home, but the spread was bigger, and Illinois wasn't, you know, playing good football at the time. Had no reason to think that they would beat a 30-point favored Wisconsin team. And they did it. And did it in a way where, but different in the sense that than this one, because I felt like you take 60 minutes of the football game, take the 9 overtimes completely out of it. All right, let's just take the 60 minutes of football that was played during regulation. Bielema has talked since day one about, I want to go in and I want to play a Big Ten game and I want to play it for 60 minutes and I want to be the toughest team on that field for 60 minutes and for 4 quarters. And whatever the result was going to be during those 9 overtimes, he accomplished that goal today because they were tougher and they were physically dominant, more physically dominant at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball today than Penn State was. And that's saying something because you're talking about a school that recruits big boys to play on both sides of the ball. And Illinois' big guys, whether it's offensive line or defensive line, did an excellent job today of making sure that physically they were the more dominant football team. And that's why they stayed in it for 4 quarters. That's why they were in it for those 9 overtime periods. And I got to give – so that's my first take is that once again, the defense and the running game is exactly what Brett Bielema wants this program to, you know, be built on, the foundation. It's bread and butter. And today you saw it. Like, they're going to do this if Brett Bielema gets the kind of athletes that he wants. And I'm not – when I talk athletes, I'm not talking about skill position guys. I'm talking about guys on the line, guys up front and on the defense. If he gets these kind of consistent recruiting classes that he wants, this is the kind of style you're going to see. This is the kind of numbers you're going to see. You're going to see two guys go for 100 yards in a game. You're going to see this type of action in the game. And just feel like if Brett Bielema can physically dominate Penn State with this group, wait till he gets some guys in here that he feels really, really good about developing, and then they'll be dominant against the Penn States, Ohio States, and Michigans of the world.
So, folks, you know, Matt came in. He didn't get to hear some of the other comments, and you can see that a lot of fans are thinking the same way, and a lot of the media is as well. Now, we've also got Brad Sturdy, who obviously covers Illini basketball, but he also gets to coach softball in frigid weather. And so somehow he's come in from out of the rain and the cold in a rare moment of common sense. And he's going to give us some of the thoughts that are going through his mind as he is between games down there. Brad, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
And, you know, it was a really good win for Illinois today. But the one thing I'll say, I heard what Matt said, you know, you want to see those numbers. I hope they don't want to see 39 yards passing. I think the quarterback, if Illinois had a quarterback who could make the throws or make the right reads, which, you know, even on the last play, Washington was open for 3 seconds. So if they had a quarterback, I mean, this team could actually be pretty good. I mean, they'd be a bowl team. I mean, I think it's – if they had a quarterback who was like a legit Power 5 starting quarterback, they would be a bowl team this year. So that's a positive for Brett Bielema, you know, going forward. He can sell that, hey, we just need that one piece. We got the running backs. We can play this, you know, and we always talk style of play, but you still got to be able to complete a pass, you know, down the field, a little open things up. I can't imagine what they run for if they have to defend against the pass.
I don't know that they were almost 2 yards an attempt today. It was an amazing number there. But I will say that is something else. And the thing that is surprising to me is there's been a lot of ups and downs this season. Yet we are looking at a team that literally, you know, if you beat Rutgers, Minnesota, and Northwestern, I know I'm not saying that's a given. I'm not saying that it's easy, but this team could still go to a bowl.
Matt? Two of those games are at home, Mike. And yeah. I'm not suggesting that Illinois won't be favored in at least one of them, if that's, you know, if this works out. Like, tell me why they're worse than Rutgers, even with the quarterback situation that they have. Tell me why they're worse than Northwestern at home, even with the quarterback situation that they have. You know, continues to impress me week after week after week after week, and it's guys that you can build a foundation with. It's underclassmen. It's guys like Tyreek Barnes, and Kalen Tolson's a junior, but he'll be back next year. guys like Devin Witherspoon, guys, and you know, guys like Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton up front. I mean, these are underclassmen that are guys on defense that Ryan Walters is going to have for a few more years. And you just start to understand the development position by position on this defense is just fascinating to me. I mean, the idea that you can get two over 100 yards in a single game is just unbelievable. I know they still struggle to throw the ball down the field. And that's obvious.
That's understatement too.
Right. When you go out, when you go out to recruit though, and if you're a running back and you're an offensive lineman, why wouldn't you want to play for that? Because that's a lot of fun. I promise you guys, offensive linemen like going forward a hell of a lot more than they like going backwards in pass protection. They'd rather do that. And so I'm not saying you can win with four, you know, not 40 yards of passing per game, and you can't really predict that you're going to beat 10 teams doing that. But you can stay in the football game no matter what you do passing the football if you're more physical at the line of scrimmage and you're more dominant. And I got to give a lot of credit, even in a game where they didn't throw it, I think, for 40 yards today. Give a lot of credit to Tony Peterson today because they did a lot of creative in the run game. They got guys out on the perimeter. They changed Alex Palcheski to guard and got him out on the perimeter and run. And what they did in the run game and staying committed to it, which they do against Wisconsin, is a main reason why they stayed in the football game. And they didn't, they got, they at least at the very, very least, Tony Peterson understands what to do in the run game and how to stay disciplined in it. And, yep. And they, if Penn State wasn't going to stop them, they weren't going to stop doing what they were powerful in. And then that's a huge part of why they won today.
Yep. Ked, any thoughts on your angle? I know you and I had talked about quite a bit before the can or the microphones and recorders started going on.
Yeah. I just, you know, I try to be an honest man and, you know, admit when I'm wrong. You know, Tony, offensive coordinator Tony Peterson has frustrated me. I don't know if they threw for 6 yards today. I was impressed today. The offense has some imagination. When I look at, I try to think through the eyes of a coach. All three of you guys have said the same thing. Imagine if they had a quarterback. There was plays. There was one overtime. I don't know who the kid was. He was wide open in the front, and I think they threw the ball to Barker when Peterson threw the ball 8 miles over his head. There was a guy open, in, you know, just right in the end zone.
Yeah.
If they had a quarterback, and you could clearly see, it would be different. So I have to apologize, and I am apologizing. The offense looked good to me today based on what the potential of what it could be. And moving forward with it, you know, I don't know how bad – Art's going to be, but they may be down another quarterback. We know Brandon hasn't finished 3 or 4 games in a row, so that's another concern moving forward. But I just like the, you know, what I've seen, and today he tried to do things differently, and that's right. If Penn State didn't stop it, they couldn't stop doing it.
Yep. Yep. And it was incredible. You know, you know, we can joke about the fact that you put 20 points on the board in 4 quarters and 9 overtimes. But the bottom line is they held a team that was ranked number 7 in the country to 18 points. Keith Randolph made a couple of just phenomenal plays to stop shovel passes. And it goes back to Brad. Do you remember the day that I was texting you when we were watching E.J. Liddell in high school? And I texted you and I said, hey, has Underwood talked to Lovey about trying to get Keith Randolph – AJ, you know, or EJ Liddell combo packet to come down, kind of come up to Champaign to play some ball. And I go back to that moment and I think, man, but what a talented duo. And you could see Randolph on the basketball court. He was going to be a nightmare as a football player. Brad, I know that's a long time ago, but what do you think?
I do remember. I do remember that. That's the scary part, I think, is that I do. yeah, Keith Randolph, he's great, man. I mean, what a fantastic player. I just think he's a guy who, you know, and you could, when he was out, you saw a huge difference in the defensive line too.
Yes.
So, yeah, definitely. I really think that, you know, like to say, we're all kind of doing our apologizing thing. I thought Tony Peterson called the game he had. I think the problem is it's too bad that he has to call that game. It'd be great if he didn't, you know?
Yeah.
So We'd love to be able to pass, but he did what he had to do. When you say four quarters and nine overtime, 20 points, it's a 2018 game. That's really kind of comical.
Yes.
But yeah, it is what it is. And so we're just happy they got the dub.
Yeah, I want it to be a funny comedy, not a sad comedy. And so for Penn State, it's them. And I got to go back to one thing, and I will tell you that, and I go back to a conversation I had with Brad, and this was when Illini Guys was still, we were writing stories as if we were a website, but we knew we weren't going to be starting until January. And when Ryan Walter got hired, Brad told me, he goes, this is a good hire. Pay attention to this. And so if you take a look at the defense that people expected at the start of the year, first game, they gave up 22 points. Then they gave up 37, then 42, and we're all starting to panic. And then all of a sudden, 20 points, 13 points, 14 points, 24 points, and now 18 and nine overtimes. I got to be honest with you. My biggest fear for the football staff now is what big school is going to be coming looking for Mr. Walter, because he has taken a defense of guys that had low expectation and turned them into, maybe statistically they're not a great defense, but they don't allow a lot of points, which has kept a very, very challenged Illini offense in some games that realistically they probably shouldn't be in.
The fact of the matter is, Mike, if he was what are they 3-5 now?
Yes.
If they were 5-3 or 6-2, Ryan Walters would be looked at by Group of Six schools right now as a head coach. And he's sure that at the end of this year by blue blood programs for, you know, an upgrade salary wise and as a defensive coordinator. Hello LSU, because they're going to need one. That kind of deal. I mean, that's what you're talking about. And I would share your fear as an Illini fan, except for the fact that I'm not trying to take away what Ryan has done, because I think he's a superior coach. And I'd love to go back and talk to some of those people that covered Missouri that tried to tell me that this was a really big mistake for Brett Bielema to make, and they really weren't going to miss him in Mizzou. they can't stop a cold right now in Columbia, and Illinois has got a defense. The fact of the matter is that I do think that this is a staff on defense that puts it all together collectively. I'm not trying to take away what Ryan has done as a play caller.
Yeah, I agree.
Ryan, and you look at Kevin Kane, my God, look at what Andy Boo is doing with those linebackers.
Yep.
Like Kalon Tolson and Tyreek Barnes didn't take a snap in the spring, barely did anything in the fall. And Andy Boo has put them in situations to succeed. You talk about Terrence Jamison and what he's done with that defensive line. And then you got Kevin Kane working with those outside rushers. And then I think Aaron Henry is one of the best DB coaches in the country, because he's gotten guys like Devin Witherspoon and Tony Adams, and even Quan Martin, who had some struggles in coverage, to really do great jobs tackling out in open space. And that's why they're able to get off the field on third downs. I think it's a collective unit of those five guys combined with the head coach, who's the defensive mentality guy, that has allowed this to happen. And I couldn't be more impressed with what they do week by week by week by week, not only with the overall, you know, getting better since the Virginia game, but player development wise, you're just seeing guys that I can't imagine what this defense is going to look like when these guys are upperclassmen and they have a spring to go through, and then they have another fall camp to go through. With this system, it's going to be, and then they're able to maybe get some guys in the JUCO world or in the transfer portal. They've been doing this all without guys like Calvin Hart and Jake Hansen too. So, I mean, there's guys that have been out that they've still been doing this with. So I've really been impressed with that side of the ball. That's why a big part of why they won today. And they've really done a great job of taking an offense like at Penn State, pretty high potent at the beginning of this season, and just eliminated one part of the game, and they were not able to run the football against Illinois. Flat, just couldn't do it. When's the last time anybody's ever said that?
Well, it was interesting because it was a little bit of, and maybe, you know, Coach B gets a little bit of credit as well, but it was a little bit like a Bill Belichick thing where they basically decided we're going to take away something from the offense, and they took it away, like gone. It's out of here. And they reduced it, and of course Clifford looked like he was hurt, You know, one has to wonder with the level of performance, should he have been out there? I don't know that. But he definitely looked like he was struggling. And you forced a guy who isn't 100% to carry the team, and he wasn't able to do it. That's just what I call strategy.
Yeah. The Brian Walters and that defensive staff showed up at the park today and said, we're going to make your injured quarterback beat us because we don't think he's healthy. And yep. They were right. And then they also decide that we think our guys up front are just bigger and nastier than your guys up front. And they were right. And that's why
the number seven team in the number seven team in the country. This isn't like, you know, they showed up against, you know, Eastern Illinois and decided they were going to prove they were tough.
No, this is a little different to Mike than Josh McCray running for 150 yards at Purdue and having 130 of those yards being after contact. This is an offensive line that got out on the perimeter and just moved people. I don't care. It was an after Vidarian Lowe got hurt and they had to shoehorn Pils and Bielema mentioned that today. Like they had to shoehorn Alex Pilstrom into the most important offensive line position on the field, shoehorn a guy who was a walk-on tight end a year and a half ago. And they still were moving people because you had guys like Doug Kramer beating people off the line. You had Jack Bogunovic, who is a Colgate transfer, who I imagine was just pumped as hell to play Penn State today.
Yep.
And he was moving people. And then you saw Alex Pelcheski in his first game at right guard just move people. And you can get him out on the perimeter because you've done that before. And Julian Pearl proved today as an underclassman, guess what? You might have a right tackle of the future somehow, some way in later years when I know I was having conversations with people this week about what the heck is Illinois going to do over the next couple of years at tackle. Well, my first answer now is play Julian Pearl, maybe at right tackle. Maybe you got that one solved. You don't have to get two JUCO tackles. You know what I mean? Two JUCO tackles next year. But yeah, Mike, this is a program defining win for Brett Bielema in the same vein that I thought it was a program saving win for Lovie Smith 2 years ago at homecoming.
Yeah,
this is a program defining win for Brett Bielema. And this shows everybody not only that I can beat these types of teams on the road and on front of national television, but I can do it and play in this style in 2021 too. This style is not dead. I love the way that Bob Ashushin, the play-by-play guy today for ABC, said, this is your grandfather's Big Ten. And sure enough, Brett Bielema is turning back the clock and playing your grandfather's Big Ten. Because I really do think that, yes, they're going to want to throw the football a lot better than they are this year. But that's going to be their bread and butter, folks. Handing the ball to guys like Chase Brown and Josh McCray and having wide open holes to run through. Be physically dominant of practically every team they play in the Big Ten. That is the goal of Brett Bielema. That is the idea of tough, smart, and dependable.
Yep. And so folks, we've got, believe it or not, you if you look at your podcast feed, you saw earlier today, you saw a preview for the basketball game tonight. Here we're going to be wrapping this up. And then there's going to be another podcast later today, probably early tomorrow morning, recapping the exhibition game. So what I'm going to do is I don't want to kill our Illini guys fans by having us literally physically exhaust their ears. So let's get kind of a wrap on final thoughts here. Kedrick, you know, you've had some time to reflect on what the rest of us were talking about. Brad had to get back to his game. So give us your final wrap on what's going on or where you think the Illini are after this game and what other thoughts you might have.
I'm going to be short and sweet. You don't apologize for it. I don't care how ugly it was. It could have been 2-0. It's a signature win, and you won the game. You know, we can analyze it all we want, but at the end of the day, in the column, it's a W.
Yep. That's short and sweet. Thanks, Ked. And Matt, I'm going to give you the last word before I take it home. What are your thoughts here?
I have to imagine the Bielema momentum bus is a heck of a lot fuller than it was at 11 a.m. today. There were a lot of people that got off that bus over the last month when we flipped the calendar to October. I imagine there's a lot of people, you know, I'm not saying like Kedrick, who is amazing today, but doesn't need to. There are a lot of people on our board. There are a lot of members at Illini guys that are back on the bus that's being driven by Brett Bielema today, because today, like Kedrick just said, is a program defined. These are the wins you build on. These are the wins I saw in the first year of Dan Mullen when he beat, when he won the Egg Bowl and beat a ranked Ole Miss team that ended up winning the Sugar Bowl. Whether or not the rest of the year goes the way it goes, I don't care. This is a win where you can point to and say, my style works, my players work, my coaches work, I'm going to work here. And I think that the most importantly, Brett Bielema convinced his boss, Josh Whitman, today that you made the right call when you hired me, because this is a culture win for Illinois. For everything that happened today, whether it was the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth overtime, you had people think Illinois was going to lose today. And because all they had seen was Illinois lose games like this today. And Brett Bielema was trying to change a culture at Illinois. And this is kind of how you do it. You win a game that everybody goes, they're going to win this game. And in the midst of it, you go, well, they're going to blow it somehow. They didn't today. And so this is a game that guys like these super seniors, like Doug Kramer, and even Brandon Peters, who came in and threw the game winning touchdown pass, 2-point conversion pass, can really hang their hat on and say, I came back to win a game like this and put this program right back to where it needs to be. And I applaud the guys on the visiting sideline today for doing what they did as a 23-point underdog. And Mike, as my boss, go ahead and inform Larry that I'm going to try to get to State Farm Center on time today, but I might not get there, but yep. I'll do my best.
We got that. No, that's no problem. So basically, you know, this is an interesting moment here. The team is in a position, and again, this is not somebody saying they're going to make a bowl, but they're in a position where they can at least control their destiny. They've got to win, you know, 3 out of the next 4 games. 2 of them are at home, and ostensibly, all 4 games are against teams that they technically can beat, because they just beat number 7 at home or on the road. So, you know, they have an opportunity. That's all you can ask for in sports. You have to take care of each opportunity as each week comes, but they're back in position to make that work. The thing that I like about today, the thing that today allows them to build, is if you're playing, you know, Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, Northwestern, and something bad happens, they know they can come back and win because they did it at Penn State. And so that is an incredibly important moment for this team. And I think it's something that will pay dividends, if not this year, in the following years, because you really do have to teach a team how to win. And that is what the coaching staff is doing here with this team. And this was huge. Will it pay dividends this fall? We can hope so, but it may not. We'll have to see how that plays out. But in the long run, this is big, and it allows Brett Bielema to go out on the recruiting trail and start talking to people about what you can do and why not Illinois, which that hasn't been sold very effectively or very consistently since the early days of John Makovic. So that's a long time coming. So what I'm going to tell everybody right now is there's going to be one more podcast later today. And please, if you are not a member of IlliniGuys.com, go ahead, sign up. You get a 7-day free trial. We don't charge your credit card until it's all done at the end of the 7th day. We don't have very many people who tell us we don't like it. They go ahead and they use that 7-day, and then boom, they've been members ever since. But if you want the best coverage of Illini sports, then you go to IlliniGuys.com. If you want the best coverage of Illini basketball, then you go to IlliniGuys.com. This is the time to get subscribed, get ready to go, because if you want to know what's going on with recruiting, you want to know what's going on behind the scenes in basketball, you want to know what's going on, you got to get onto our site. Additionally, Matt and the whole team also is covering Illini football. They do a wonderful job there. So just stay tuned to IlliniGuys.com. And we will see you later today after the Illini exhibition game. Go Illini!